We always make sense of it, and you know, and obviously a change of formation for us. Many people have been speaking about that, kind of the mythical concept that you never change your shape. And I've said many times, we've changed it many times. It's just that, you know, with all due respect to the fan, they just look at a 4-4-2 as being what it is. You know, a 4-2-3-1 morphs into a 4-4-1, one morphs into a 4-4-2. You can look at it so many ways. But we actually went with a change with an actual three in midfield rather than the two and the one striker in front of him. And to a degree, it worked. We kept the ball well. We weren't as productive as what I think we are with a four, or playing a four and the two strikers in an attacking sense. But we certainly had a grip of the game for different spells. Just really letting a loose goal, you know, and we defended well on the night. I don't think the chance count was low for both, I must make clear. They had a lot of long efforts, but there was no real chances. I think they had one other in sort of kind of the golden triangle, you know, outside of the box and the second 6 yard box. Outside of the second 6 yard box. And other than that, we've had a chance with Boydie getting in behind them. We've had a chance with Scotty getting in behind them. But they're much of a muchness chance wise, and then game wise, not a lot in it, you know. We knew they liked to keep the ball at home, more so than away, and I thought we dealt with that side of the game well, absorbed the game well, but we just weren't the attacking threat I like to be going forwards, and hence why I do like playing two strikers, because I was a centre-half, don't forget, and it's much harder playing against two strikers than against one.
It's a rarity, isn't it, playing two strikers? Not many clubs do that, don't they?
Well, I think the latest... believe it or not, the latest on-trend chatter around the managers is how they can get two strikers back on the pitch. It usually goes in cycles. In my youth, everyone played a 3-5-2, and then it quickly turned back to a 4-4-2, then it went to a 4-4-1-1, then it went to a 4-2-3-1, and if you actually look at a 4-2-3-1, if you move players 4 yards, it's a 4-4-1-1. So, you know, like I say, the ongoing debate on tactics, the simple fact is a 4-4-1-1 is usually two midfielders with a striker in front of them, and a 4-1-4-1 is usually three actual midfielders rotating in the middle. We went with three actual midfielders the other night rather than playing a striker off the front line. You can debate all of the ins and outs of what I've said at your leisure, which we do as a staff, but it's still got to be productive. And we were close to being productive.
Was that based on the opposition? Was that based on wanting to get Dean Marnie into the side? What was the reason?
It was based on a lot of thoughts. We've had a look at it in training at varying times. It's not something that we haven't had a look at. It's we wanted energy in there. We wanted to compact the midfield. And we wanted to not even play counter, actually. We wanted to keep the ball and build attacks. And mix that with counter. And like I say, there was good signs of building attacks, but in the top third, when you really need... If you're going to play a more possession-based football, you need that top third to be alive, and you need that top third guile. And we didn't show enough of that on the night. Likewise, I don't think they showed too much. It was mainly in the kind of periphery of the box, not actually in the box. So, you know, that was probably the deciding factor. With them doing enough to get their goal, a poor goal from our point of view, but them doing enough to get their goal, and us not quite doing enough. Other than that, there wasn't a lot in the game.
I think at the start of the season, you said to me, maybe four or five games in, that you perhaps felt as though your team weren't playing to the levels that they can play at. Since then, have you seen improvement? How do you assess it now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's impossible to win 9 games out of 12 and draw 2 and lose 1 unless you've made strides forward. It's just an impossibility of this level of football. And it's not impossible, but improbable that you don't have a funny spell during a season. And we're in one now. It's how quickly you take care of it and how quickly you get the next win and how quickly you then build a winning run again. I mean, that's usually the defining thing about seasons, this is, you know, about how seasons work. You know, some of the performances have been decent. We've had a few things go against us out of our control, but some of the performances have been decent. Some not as good. We've been productive in making chances. We know we've got to take chances, and we've let in a couple of soft goals. Over a season, that can happen. If you put them all together in one bunch, like they have been, then all the questions start. But if you actually space that across a number of games, if you put that in the 9 wins out of 12, you wouldn't even notice it. So it's important to activate on it. It's important to make sense of it. Most important is get your next win, because that starts the chain of events, or certainly that's how you envisage it and that's how you plan it. To get that next win, and then you can build that one game at a time mentality again.
You mentioned your team's in a bit of a funny run of results at the moment. You had
not ha ha funny.
No.
Let's make that clear.
No, we're not laughing. We're very serious. You meant 2 years ago. You went through a similar period, didn't you? I mean, it's nothing.
Absolutely.
Unusual.
I mean, you know, people. It's one of the things. You know, with when you look backwards, it always seems to be rose. Not always, actually, but when you have good times, it's rose coloured, and you know, there's kind of that mythical thought that we started the season as the biggest underdogs ever, which is that bit's probably true. and then won every week. Well, we didn't. You know, you could look back at this exact stage in the season, funnily enough, where there was a lot of draws. There was only a couple of wins. I think it was only 4 wins in 15 games. So now we don't want to replicate that, but it's nothing to be afraid of. That can happen, and you can still be productive, as we've shown, of course, before. But in balance to that, it's important the next one's right, and it's important the one after that's right, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not something you ask for, it's not something you want, but when it comes your way, you have to see how the team's actually performing, the players you've got performing, the ones who are getting fitter, the ones who maybe deserve a chance, the ones who haven't had a chance, process that all down to get the right outcome. But we still, by no means do you accept that run. We know that it's really important to get back to winning ways, and the sooner the better.
Is the league different to 2 years ago when you went through this spell? Is
it... the biggest difference, and I make this clear, I remind everyone, I spoke about this at the beginning of the season when the ball wasn't kicked. I spoke about we were winning every week, and I'm speaking about it now. The biggest difference is the challenge has changed radically. We've played Middlesbrough Football Club the other day, who spent more money than us, not only on the pitch but on wages. We played Derby the same. You play Sheffield Wednesday, you play Hull, you play all these teams. If you look over the last year and the year before, they've spent a lot more money than the norm, I make this clear, of a team that comes out of the Premier League. If you look 4, 5, 6, certainly 7, 8, 9 years ago, the teams that come out of the Premier League were very, very strong financially against the norms in the Championship. Now, with so many, not always, but mostly foreign owners, there are, of course, Derby's is different with Mel Morris. There's lots of foreign owners put a lot of money into these football clubs, in of course, with the prize being not only the kudos of the Premier League, but the money that comes with the Premier League. So that's where the challenge has changed on the whole. Within that, no, the challenge is the same. It's everyone fighting, everyone wanting to win, everyone, no matter who you are, every expectation across that division is we want to be in the Premier League.
Do you feel expectations at this club have changed from 2 years ago or not?
Absolutely, but they've changed for the better. They've changed from where's the club going, kind of not sure, you know, cutting, having to sell, sort of, history repeating itself. If you look back many years of, you know, famous stories of selling players to pay a stand bill and, you know, pay the bills, etc., etc., to get to where we've got to in sort of 3 years is remarkable in itself. But now there's an expectation on that, and that is part of being successful. The more successful you are, it's like anything in life. If you go and buy a garment that you believe is really good quality, you expect it to be good quality. Well, we've changed into something that there is an expectation of it being good quality, of it delivering results, of it giving a service, of it giving a product that can be accepted by the people and win. But that's sort of a great thing. That's what comes with being successful. So it's to enhance it and embrace it, not to... And I've said this to the players. I said, you've been very successful. Even last year, considered successful in the enormity of the challenge, you know, so not ultimately successful, but in the enormity, us against the norms, against the market, against the finance, very tough challenge, but given a very good account of ourselves, and some players laid some real strong markers down at a very high level of football. So it's all success based, you know, that's where the expectations come from, and rightly so. It changes, you know, there's a moderate balance to it, because I still don't think we're market leaders financially and the biggest club in the division. But we bring on the expectation from ourselves being successful. So, of course, we're proud of that, and we want more of it, and we want to live up to them expectations, starting with our own, of course, because people forget that. We have our own expectation. It's powerful inside the camp.
I think you mentioned on Tuesday about perhaps just lacking a bit of guile, I think is the word you used on Tuesday night. Are you confident you've got that guile here? Is that something that
well,
you
yeah,
can...
again, we've shown it during the season. You know, until the last few games, right up there with the top scorers. So there is guile, there is goals, there is ways of scoring, there is different ways the team can operate in order to get them chances, in order to score. Ocho Karanka said to me afterwards, they had a game of 3 games where they didn't score a goal, and they said straight after that, we scored loads of goals. He said, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily the performance. And he said, we didn't look like scoring a goal for 3 games. And then we score 3 away from home, and everyone goes, oh, you're scoring again. So, you know, that sometimes, like I say, you have to make sense of it. You have to believe in how the team operate. You know, and we've shown really strong signs of how the team can operate in order to win. We've also shown really strong signs of how we can make chances and how we can take the chances in order to win. Finding that balance on a weekly, bi-weekly, whatever it is, basis, you know, however the games may come across, that's the challenge, and keeping that consistency in order to keep getting them big wins.
What dangers do Charlton pose, a team that's currently in the bottom three but have shown recently that they can go to places like Brighton and score goals and cause problems?
Well, they countered well at Brighton. You know, we've watched that game, and at home they've played slightly differently. Obviously, maybe the home attention to the home thinking, if you like, you know, of playing. But away from home, we've noticed they tend to counter. They've got some pace. They've got some energy. You know, they're a side to be reckoned with. But then I look at every team in the division. We've seen that already ourselves this season. There's no gimmies. There's no easy games. I don't say my words just to cop out of situations. They're the truths. I've known the Championship a lot down the years. You never get an easy game. You have to be right on top of your performance every single game. And you have to, it goes back to the simplest thing, but keep the back door shut and open up theirs, you know. And that's how it often pans out a game. The bit in the middle is hopefully the bit you enjoy by playing well, by creating chances, scoring goals. But that's where it inevitably comes down to. So that'll be the challenge on Saturday.